Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, and that it would touch our hearts and cause us to turn to you, Father, to seek your face and to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you this past week. We ask, Father, that you would correct us, but with measure, because you know our frame, Father. You know how frail we are. Strengthen us, Father. Cause us to grow in your grace and knowledge. Help us to gain the faith we need to serve you better, Father. We love you, and we thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon your servants. We ask, Father, that you would touch hearts and cause those around us that would see us to give glory to you, Father, because of what they see in us. Help us, Father, to be the salt of the earth, to fulfill that calling that you've given us in the Great Commission, to go into all the earth and to preach the glad tidings and to bring people to Yahshua. Help us, Father, to do your will in these last days. Give us the faith we need and the strength through your Holy Spirit to overcome this world and Satan the devil. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated at this time. This message is entitled, The Households of Faith. The households of faith. The obstacles that come into your life will serve to build faith if you trust Yahweh with your circumstances. Our part is to simply seek a relationship with Almighty Yahweh. As our relationship grows, He builds faith into our lives. Trusting Yahweh is the fruit of knowing Him. When you're sick or there is another crisis in your life, there are biblical steps to faith. First thing you do is pray and tell Yahshua that you trust Him in the circumstances. Then ask Him to reveal His purpose for the circumstances and believe Him to either release you from it or be with you in it. Yahweh gives us everything we need, but it is up to us to decide what we will believe, what we will trust Yahweh for, and what we will focus our lives on. Too many people take that path where they focus their lives on material possessions and the things of this life. But if we will trust Yahweh and focus our lives on the proper things, we'll see in this message what Yahweh will do for us, how He will develop our faith. In Matthew chapter 17, turn to Matthew chapter 17. We'll start in verse 19. Matthew 17:19. Then came the disciples to Yahshua apart. This is after they couldn't cast out the demons. And said, why can we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from here to yonder place, and it shall remove. and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind goes not out but save by prayer and fasting. So they were up against a demon that they couldn't cast out. And they wanted to know why they couldn't cast it out. And Yahshua told them, this kind comes only out by prayer and fasting. And he told them they had little faith. If you have faith, the grain, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, it says we can move mountains. How little faith must we have, brethren? Think about your life and the circumstances that are there in your life. Can we move mountains today? Mountains represent spiritually governments. Eliyah stood up to Ahab, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years because Yahweh had given him that power and that authority over it. The two witnesses are going to have that same power and authority, that it rains not for 3.5 years. And this is why they're going to hate them. And they're going to want to try to kill them. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 2. Galatians 5, verse 2, it says, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing. Yes, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Now, I have whole underlined, and when I put that underlined, and next to it I put oral. See, the oral law was different. Again, like I said, what Paul is dealing with here is not the Torah. What he's dealing with was the oral law. There were people who were telling the Galatians that they had to be physically circumcised after they had accepted the Messiah. And that is not true. See? In verse 4 it says, "You are severed from the Messiah. You who would be justified by the law," and he's talking about the oral law, "you have fallen away from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah, Yahshua, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not from him that calls you." It didn't come from Yahweh. It didn't come from Yahshua. It came from the evil one. And see, this is why you have to understand when you're reading the text exactly what they're speaking of. The law that he was talking about was the oral law. This is the book of the fathers of the rabbis that were telling them that they had to be circumcised. Even today, if you are a proselyte and you want to become a Jew and you're already circumcised, they are going to prick you. You got to shed some blood. You understand? But your blood can't save you. Only the blood of Yahshua the Messiah can save. So we have to understand that there's always some issues here underlying in the text. But this is about the households of faith. Turn over to Jacob. Jacob chapter 2. A very important passage that we're familiar with. Jacob chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you give them not the things necessary to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith.' You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. The demons believe also and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Yahweh provided him a sacrifice." See? "But he believed that even if he did offer his son, Yahweh could raise him up. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness.'" Belief is interchanged with faith in a lot of instances in the scriptures, and we're going to see a few of those. "And he was called a friend of Yahweh. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith." And you'll hear the Christian doctrine that you only have his grace only. You only have to believe. But there's something that goes along with that belief. You have to have some works, brethren, which means keeping the covenant, keeping the commandments. "In like manner was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." If we believe Almighty Yahweh, he will build on that start of faith, and we can become faith giants without limits. Today I choose to believe Yahweh. Will you join me in this? My wife told me the other day I needed to read this book entitled Moses, Steps to a Life of Faith by Bob Safran. And this message is based on what I got out of that book. And I haven't finished reading the book, but it has a lot of very, very positive statements within it. The life of Moses presents many contrasts. He was a child of a slave and a son of a queen. He was born in a hut and lived in a palace. He inherited poverty, but lived in unlimited wealth. He was the leader of armies and a keeper of flocks, a shepherd. He was called the mightiest of warriors and the meekest of men. He was educated in Pharaoh's court and lived in the desert. He was a city boy who wandered in the wilderness. He was backward in speech, yet he spoke for Yahweh. And a picture, he was a giver of the law, the Torah, and a picture of the grace to come. His life illustrates high failures of faith and unbelievable successes. His life was filled with contradictions just like ours. Believe Yahweh today, brethren. He has a great dream for your life. Ask him in prayer to reveal it to you and step out on faith and pursue it. Because too many people feel they can't do what Yahweh calls them to do. But when you look at these great men of faith, even Eliyahu was considered a coward. Abraham, a liar. Jacob, a deceiver. See, we all have flaws. None of us are perfect. But we can be perfected through Yahshua the Messiah. We can step out on faith. That Almighty Yahweh instills within us. Turn over to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when any war breaks out, they will join themselves unto our enemies and fight against us and get out of the land. Therefore, they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. And the more they spread abroad. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and in brick. And in all manner of service in the field. And all the service in which they made them serve with rigor. In other words, they made them work hard. They were slaves, bondmen. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of the one was Sapphira and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared Elohim. They feared Yahweh. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men child alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, but they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come to them. And Elohim dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them households. See? He made them households because they feared him. They did what Yahweh wanted them to do. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We know Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For in it the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of Yahweh, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. Stop down to verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment, like the midwives. They weren't afraid. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of Yahweh than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the payment of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do was swallowed up. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. And without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing, for he that comes to Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. So we see here that we have to have faith to seek after Yahweh. And Yahweh is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Now, we understand when Moses was born, and this talks about faith, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents. Moses was a baby. He didn't have faith. He was a baby. It's his parents that had the faith. Okay? And it's with this backdrop that Moses was born. Now, a man of the household of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with pitch, with tar. And then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. And then when Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby, and he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. Said, this is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then her sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And this is Exodus 2:1-10. There is a lot that has gone on here. Moses' father's name was Amram. He was a grandson of Levi, a great-grandson of Jacob, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, Amram was a holy man who loved the nation of Israel. See, not all the Israelites had gone into idolatry and worshiped the mighty ones of Egypt. There were several who still kept faith, like Amram. And it records that Amram was worried about what would happen to Israel because Pharaoh had decreed that all male babies would be put to death. And you see the parallel between Moses and Yahshua. Herod had instituted infanticide to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. And here, Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male children. See, because Yahweh had given Amram a dream saying that he would have a son that would save his people, carry them out of Egypt. So Amram prayed and asked Yahweh for a savior for his people. And Yahweh responded by giving Amram a dream that he would have a son and that his son would be hidden from Pharaoh. In that dream, he was brought up in a surprising way to deliver his people from bondage. And that is very surprising because, like I said, he was born a slave. Yet, he was raised in Pharaoh's court after he had been nurtured by his mother, who was being paid to do so. So they were blessed as a faithful household in many ways. In that dream, like I said, he was brought up in a surprising way to deliver his people from bondage. Amram believed Yahweh. And I wonder if faith is something that can be passed down from father to son, from parent to child. And I believe if the children are raised in a faithful household, they will develop that faith because they'll see that faith in action among their parents. This says, I wonder if growing up in a home where faith is evident was the genesis of the faith for Moses. If Moses' parents were not afraid of Pharaoh, why after 3 months did they abandon him to the Nile? According to Josephus, rather than depending on his own ability to conceal Moses, Amram decided to depend instead on the dream that Yahweh had given him. Thus, he didn't abandon Moses to the Nile, but rather to the care of Yahweh. And that's awesome. Can you imagine that? This is what the author says. I'm more convinced than ever that the seed of Moses' faith began with his parents. And Moses' mother's name was Jochebed. The scripture says that when she saw he was a fine child, she hid him. And it says, don't misunderstand her here. That this doesn't mean that if he had a wart or something that she would have pitched him in the Nile. The word translate fine means that he was good in the broadest possible sense of the word. Yahweh had given Amram a dream that he and Jochebed would have a very special child and that Yahweh would use to redeem his people from slavery. Amram and Jochebed believed Yahweh for that dream. When Moses was born, they could tell right away that Yahweh had delivered on his promise. And Yahweh had delivered the goods. The Israelites were in a bad way spiritually when Moses came on the scene. Many had turned to idolatry during their 400-year stay in Egypt. But there were some Israelites, like Moses' parents, who stayed true to Yahweh. And as true worshipers, they would have been familiar with Yahweh's words to Abraham. Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, Genesis 15:13. Let's take one more look at Moses' parents before we leave them. Amram and Jochebed were virtually unknown members of a group of slaves. They were nobodies, and even today they're not well known, and yet they rank among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. What can we discover about the faith of Moses' parents? I believe they exhibited five characteristics of genuine faith. First of all, faith requires Yahweh to reveal himself. That's the first thing you want to write down. First, to have faith in Yahweh, he must reveal himself to you. And this has to come first simply because you cannot have faith in someone you don't know. And you can only know Yahweh as he reveals himself to you. For Moses' parents, Yahweh reveals himself in the form of a dream to Amram. Yahweh will reveal himself to you as well. He created you to have fellowship with him forever. He is not hiding. He wants to be known by you. Seek him today, and he will reveal himself to you. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the back of the wilderness and came to the mountain of Elohim, to Horeb. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the middle of a bush, and he looked. And behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, Elohim called to him out of the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not come any closer. Take off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, The Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Elohim. And Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to Elohim, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the token to you that I have sent you, and you have brought forth the people of out of Egypt. You shall serve Elohim upon this mountain. So Moses got his commission right there. Now you have to look at the history of what was going on with Moses. See? Moses had history there. He had already dealt with Pharaoh. Remember, he got run out of Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian. And he left Egypt. And he was 40 years in the wilderness. He was in the desert getting his education, you might say, from a different type of school. The second thing that we need with faith, faith sees. faith sees. People of faith tend to see Yahweh in every situation. His parents saw that he was no ordinary child. What do you think they saw? Why is it necessary for faith to see? I thought faith was about the unseen. Actually, I don't think there was anything special, physically special about Moses, that he was special. What did they see? I think they saw with the eyes of their heart. They saw in Moses what others couldn't see. They saw Yahweh's sovereign purpose for this baby. Those who have faith see what others do not see. One of the characteristics that all great Bible people of faith seem to share is the ability to see Yahweh in a situation. And this is something we have to develop, brethren. We have to be able to see Yahweh in every situation that we deal with. Turn over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 6, it says, "This poor man cried, and Yahweh heard him, and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him, O taste, and delivers them. O taste and see that Yahweh is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. O fear Yahweh, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." See, the angel of Yahweh was in that burning bush. The angel of Yahweh encamps around Yahweh's people. Third characteristic of faith in action, faith must have feet. This one may be one we as true worshipers understand the least. In the assembly, we seem to have adopted the sense that a good work ethic somehow contributes to our holiness. Some of us have grown up in families where our worth was subtly attracted to how hard we worked. After all, faith without works is dead. Better get busy. I want you to hear that the action that accompanies faith has nothing to do with your works or getting busy. First of all, the works aren't our works. They're Yahweh's works. Yahweh is sovereign. He has a plan, and he is in the business of working out that plan. Faith, and characteristic number two, was see. Faith sees the plan of Yahweh, then says, "Hey, I like a piece of that action." When by faith you see Yahweh working, then it just follows that by faith you will start to take steps. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, and that it would touch our hearts and cause us to turn to you, Father, to seek your face and to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you this past week. We ask, Father, that you would correct us, but with measure, because you know our frame, Father. You know how frail we are. Strengthen us, Father. Cause us to grow in your grace and knowledge. Help us to gain the faith we need to serve you better, Father. We love you, and we thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon your servant. We ask, Father, that you would touch hearts and cause those around us that would see us to give glory to you, Father, because of what they see in us. Help us, Father, to be the salt of the earth, to fulfill that calling that you've given us in the Great Commission to go into all the earth and to preach the glad tidings and to bring people to Yahshua. Help us, Father, to do your will in these last days. Give us the faith we need and the strength through your Holy Spirit to overcome this world and Satan the devil. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated at this time. This message is entitled, The Households of Faith. The households of faith. The obstacles that come into your life will serve to build faith if you trust Yahweh with your circumstances. Our part is to simply seek a relationship with Almighty Yahweh. As our relationship grows, He builds faith into our lives. Trusting Yahweh is the fruit of knowing Him. When you're sick or there is another crisis in your life, there are biblical steps to faith. First thing you do is pray and tell Yahshua that you trust Him in the circumstances. Then ask Him to reveal His purpose for the circumstances and believe Him to either release you from it or be with you in it. Yahweh gives us everything we need, but it is up to us to decide what we will believe, what we will trust Yahweh for, and what we will focus our lives on. Too many people take that path where they focus their lives on material possessions and the things of this life. But if we will trust Yahweh and focus our lives on the proper things, we'll see in this message what Yahweh will do for us, how He will develop our faith. In Matthew chapter 17, turn to Matthew chapter 17. And we'll start in verse 19. Matthew 17:19. Then came the disciples to Yahshua apart. This is after they couldn't cast out the demons. And said, why can we not cast it out? And He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from here to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind goes not out, but saved by prayer and fasting. So they were up against a demon that they couldn't cast out. And they wanted to know why they couldn't cast it out. And Yahshua told them, this kind comes only out by prayer and fasting. And He told them they had little faith. If you have faith, the grain, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, it says we can move mountains. How little faith must we have, brethren? Think about your life and the circumstances that are there in your life. Can we move mountains today? Mountains represent spiritually governments. Eliyah stood up to Ahab. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years because Yahweh had given him that power and that authority over it. The two witnesses are going to have that same power and authority, that it rains not for 3.5 years. And this is why they're going to hate them, And they're going to want to try to kill him. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 2. Galatians 5, verse 2, it says, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, the Messiah will profit you nothing. Yes, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Now, I have whole underlined, and when I put that underline, and next to it I put oral. See, the oral law was different. Again, like I said, what Paul is dealing with here is not the Torah. What he's dealing with was the oral law. There were people who were telling the Galatians that they had to be physically circumcised after they had accepted the Messiah. And that is not true. See? In verse 4 it says, "You are severed from the Messiah, you who would be justified by the law," and he's talking about the oral law, "you have fallen away from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. For in the Messiah, Yahshua, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion came not from him that calls you." It didn't come from Yahweh. It didn't come from Yahshua. It came from the evil one. And see, this is why you have to understand when you're reading the text exactly what they're speaking of. The law that he was talking about was the oral law. This is the book of the fathers of the rabbis that were telling them that they had to be circumcised. Even today, if you are a proselyte and you want to become a Jew and you're already circumcised, they are going to prick you. You got to shed some blood. You understand? But your blood can't save you. Only the blood of Yahshua the Messiah can save. So we have to understand that there's always some issues here underlying in the text. But this is about the households of faith. Turn over to Jacob. Jacob chapter 2, a very important passage that we're familiar with. Jacob chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you give them not the things necessary to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead in itself. Yes, a man will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith.' You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. The demons believe also and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Yahweh provided him a sacrifice. See? But he believed that even if he did offer his son, Yahweh could raise him up. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Belief is interchanged with faith in a lot of instances in the scriptures, and we're going to see a few of those. And he was called a friend of Yahweh. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And you'll hear the Christian doctrine that you only have this grace only. You only have to believe. But there's something that goes along with that belief. You have to have some works, brethren, which means keeping the covenant, keeping the commandments. In like manner was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. If we believe Almighty Yahweh, he will build on that start of faith, and we can become faith giants without limits. Today I choose to believe Yahweh. Will you join me in this? My wife told me the other day I needed to read this book entitled Moses, Steps to a Life of Faith by Bob Safran. And this message is based on what I got out of that book. And I haven't finished reading the book, but it has a lot of very, very positive statements within it. The life of Moses presents many contrasts. He was a child of a slave and a son of a queen. He was born in a hut and lived in a palace. He inherited poverty, but lived in unlimited wealth. He was the leader of armies and a keeper of flocks, a shepherd. He was called the mightiest of warriors and the meekest of men. He was educated in Pharaoh's court and lived in the desert. He was a city boy who wandered in the wilderness. He was backward in speech, yet he spoke for Yahweh. And a picture, I mean, he was a giver of the law, the Torah, and a picture of the grace to come. His life illustrates high failures of faith and unbelievable successes. His life was filled with contradictions just like ours. Believe Yahweh today, brethren. He has a great dream for your life. Ask him in prayer to reveal it to you. And step out on faith and pursue it. Because too many people feel they can't do what Yahweh calls them to do. But when you look at these great men of faith, even Eliyahu was considered a coward. Abraham, a liar. Jacob, a deceiver. See, we all have flaws. None of us are perfect. But we can be perfected through Yahshua the Messiah. We can step out on faith that Almighty Yahweh instills within us. Turn over to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when any war breaks out, they will join themselves unto our enemies and fight against us and get out of the land. Therefore, they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. And the more they spread abroad. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and in brick. And in all manner of service in the field. And all the service in which they made them serve with rigor. In other words, they made them work hard. They were slaves, bondmen. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of the one was Sapphira and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall